Donald Trump's sham peace plan, which was adopted by the Security Council in a stunning betrayal of the Palestinians and a flagrant violation of international law, is overseen by the so-called Board of Peace. While European leaders have turned their backs on the Board of Peace, numerous authoritarian regimes, including Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt, and Morocco, have signed on for the charade. Trump says each board member will be required to pay $1 billion to join. Initially designed to supposedly oversee the transformation of Gaza, it has broadened its mission to serve as a counterweight to the United Nations, which Trump and his authoritarian allies are seeking to gut. The Board of Peace is to be headed by Trump in perpetuity. Its executive board members, composed of people with little experience in the region, all of whom gave full-throated support to the genocide, include Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, the Wall Street financier Mark Rowan, the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The board, which envisions a glittering Gaza Riviera of high-rises, is the usual pipe dream of colonists. As in all colonial ventures, the indigenous inhabitants, in order for the vision of a new Gaza to be realized, must be ruthlessly suppressed or expelled. Nikolai Mladenov, a Bulgarian diplomat, will serve as Gaza's high representative. His advisors include Rabbi Arya Lightstone, who was allied with the Jewish settlers and was involved in the creation of the Israeli-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, where more than 2,600 desperate Palestinians were gunned down and at least 19,000 wounded as they scrambled to grab a few food items from four poultry food dumps. Security will be purportedly overseen by Sami Nasman, a senior Palestinian Authority security officer who was sentenced in absentia by a Gaza court to 15 years in prison for allegedly orchestrating assassination attempts against Hamas leaders, along with an international stabilization force, although few countries seem eager to volunteer their troops. The Board of Peace, however, is dead in the water unless Hamas disarms, something Hamas has said it does not intend to do. It will serve rather as a cover for Israel's ongoing slow-motion genocide. Israel occupies 60% of the Gaza Strip. It continues to block the delivery of humanitarian aid, construction, materials, and fuel into Gaza, where malnutrition is widespread and there's little clean water. It has committed over 1,000 ceasefire violations, killing some 450 Palestinians since the ceasefire began. Trump will revel in his role as the debauched imperial viceroy of Gaza, but his Board of Peace, like Trump's sham university, is another scam, a way to thwart a Palestinian state, ethnically cleanse Palestinians from their land, and when they are gone, turn over rubble-strewn cities and towns to developers whose high-rises, if they are ever built, will never house Palestinians. Joining me to discuss the ceasefire, Trump's Board of Peace, and what it means for our new world order is Yanis Varoufakis, who is the Secretary General of the Democracy in Europe Movement 2025, the former finance minister of Greece, and the author of numerous books, including Techno-Feudalism, What Killed Capitalism. Well, they can't say that satire is dead. The peace, quote-unquote, peace plan itself is a ridiculous document, as is the Board of Peace. But this absurdism is dangerous, and I'm going to ask you why.
Well, in 1945, the people of the world supposedly got together after a pretty bad experience of carnage, Holocaust, tens of millions of people dying. And we, you know, we thought we turned the page as a species, that we declared that we were going to have common rules and that we are going to outlaw certain things that were detrimental to the prospects of the species, like, for instance, genocide, invading other people, and taking over their land just because you think that you deserved it. Now, of course, that was always an aspiration, not so much a reality. But, you know, this is the difference between the Donald and his predecessors. He doesn't try to justify what he does. He doesn't try to wrap it up in humanitarian foil. He just grabs and, you know, takes to the logical limit everything that George W. Bush did, even Bill Clinton, you know. When I hear, for instance, Chris, Europeans complain and say to me about Ukraine, we can't allow Putin to bomb his way into changing the borders. I said, well, that's exactly what you did in 1999 in bloody Yugoslavia. Yeah. Excuse my French. I mean, you bomb. I mean, don't go into the discussion of whether it was a good idea or a bad idea. But, you know, you can't say that this is a principle that you uphold because you were the first ones to destroy it. Now, by the way, I thought that your introduction was splendid. I don't want to add anything to it. Let me tell you how I felt when I first heard about the border of peace months ago with the so-called ceasefire. It's not really a ceasefire. The idea is that the Palestinians seize and the Israelis fire, as the, you know, they killed journalists and children only 24 hours ago. But anyway, when I heard about this idea, I thought it was a travesty. I thought it was something like George Lucas would have written as a script if he was on LSD or very, very bad mushrooms. But then I had second thoughts, Chris. You know, you said that this is a new order. It's not. Maybe we are going back to a very old order, because the idea of a corporation that is formed in a Western capital with very rich people chipping money in to join and get shares of that corporation to take over the world. That happened for the first time, at least in Britain. It had happened a little bit earlier in Amsterdam, but it happened at the time when Shakespeare was writing Hamlet, thereabouts. It was 425 years ago. And those gentlemen who got together, they formed the British East India Company, right? And so this was a corporate predecessor of national colonialism. That company, as we all know, moved to India, took over India. They moved to Indonesia, to Southeast Asia. Similar companies did similar stuff in Africa. The British East India Company at some point had 200,000 soldiers under their command. This was a corporation. The difference is that Donald wants to do it very, very quickly, and he doesn't want to chip in anything. He's not going to put even his own money in there. He wants other people to put in money in there, and he has selected. It's, you know, you watched that video, right, of, you know, Netanyahu and Lukashenko and all those people. It was like a bad Bond movie where all the, you know, the evil gang got together. They put the band back together and decided, you know, in James Bond, they have these corporations, what are they, the Spectre, that take over the world. Now, I didn't think I would live to see that, I have to admit. But it's not that new an idea. I mean, it was in James Bond, and it is the way that India was colonized, and Africa was colonized, and Indonesia was colonized. Now, one last vignette, if I may. I have to say that, you know, trying to find a silver lining, some reason to smile in a 2026, which is unfolding pretty miserably, the frustration in the faces of our European Lilliputian leaders gives me a little bit of a smile. Because, you know, those idiots, those pathetic fools, I mean, there's no other way I can describe them. When the Donald brought to them the idea of the board of peace for Gaza, they said, yeah, great. As you said in your introduction, they approved of it in the Security Council and so on. Why? Because they think, that's for Palestinians, that's for brown people. Yeah. Why do we care? Now they realize it's for them as well.
Well, because Gaza's not even mentioned. Gaza's not even mentioned.
That's right. So it's for them as well. And it's not to counterweight the United Nations, it's to completely, you know, sideline the United Nations. Maybe he wants to, I think he wants to keep the United Nations because he likes these stamps and he likes these logos. He would like to, you know, purchase it at some point as well, along with Greenland.
So let's talk a little bit about Gaza. You no doubt saw this AI-generated vision of towers along the Gaza seashore. It reminded me very much of the fantasies that were spun by the Bosnian Serbs after the war, where they said they had lost Sarajevo and they were going to recreate a new city in Pale, this small ski resort. And they had similar, it wasn't done by AI and it wasn't digitally generated, but they had models of big stadiums, and none of it ever came to pass. I can't believe anything's going to come to pass like that in Gaza. I wonder if it's more going to be the Golan Heights, where they have these dreary cement boxy buildings, one of which is called the Trump Tower. But I just wondered what your thoughts were on what their vision is. It obviously is this kind of charter city pioneered by these people like Peter Thiel in Honduras, although there are problems there, where they're corporate entities. They're completely severed from the nation state that they're in. But talk a little bit about how you see their vision, especially since you've kind of written about their vision in your last book.
Well, there are a number of things to be said here. The first thing is that look, I refuse to make predictions. Why? Because I think we have a moral duty. We have an ethical and a moral duty, not to predict, but to fight to stop it. This is not, you know, the weather that you can predict as a meteorologist, and you know the weather doesn't give a damn about your prediction, so it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. Here we have a duty to stop that. That's point, you know, my first ethical statement, if you want. But beyond that, look, remember, you remember this very well, but for the for our audience, this Board of Peace and the ceasefire was what happened when Donald Trump astutely recognized that Netanyahu is losing the propaganda war. Mm-hmm. There were four major countries, France, Britain, Australia, and Canada, that recognized the state of Palestine, which was, of course, very hypocritical of them because they only recognized it assuming that it would never happen. It was just a way. Yeah,
right. Well, and they also kept sending weapons. I think the Brits reduced their weapon shipments by, 10% or something?
Yeah, and they kept imprisoning people that were protesting against the use of those weapons. And they're still imprisoning them. People are dying as we speak of a hunger strike in British prisons. So it was hypocritical, but it was a major defeat at the propaganda level for Netanyahu. And, you know, Donald does have a sense of timing when it comes to public relations. So he steps in, he imposes that ceasefire, he brings in the Board of Peace, by which effectively to seal the genocide's continuation, to allow Netanyahu to somehow recover from his propaganda loss while at the same time continuing the genocide by other means, by means of starvation, by means of not allowing medicine to go in. I mean, the hospitals, what is left of the hospitals in Gaza today, they're still operating on children without anesthetic. No anesthetic is allowed into Gaza as you and I speak now. So this is continuing, and it worked. I don't know whether you agree. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but the truth is our only radical weapon left for us. Even the pro-Palestinian movement has subsided to a very large extent. I mean, it is increasingly difficult to stage demonstrations. You know, we do it all the time. We try to organize it. But, you know, what you and I experienced in Geneva some time ago, it would be very hard to emulate today because, you know, Donald's intervention succeeded in releasing a lot of the pressure on Netanyahu so that he can continue to do it. What is the essence